kemanusiaan, sosial dan kebudayaan. Insania FM.
Saatnya Anda dengarkan program Indonesiana, pusat kabar aktual seputar sosial, budaya, lingkungan, dan problematika di Indonesia.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Good afternoon, sahabat Insania. I'm Bini Afifa Widuri from Mataram, and also my partner Ayali from Ternate. Halo Ayali.
Halo,
how are
Bini.
You there?
I'm pretty well, thank you, Bini. We are here to greet you on Indonesiana today on Friday, May 24, 2024, via 97.9 FM Gorontalo, 87.6 FM Ternate, 100.8 FM Makassar, 103.4 FM Palu, 87.6 FM Mataram, and 88.7 FM Sorong.
And Sahabat Insania, of course, you can also listen to our broadcast via streaming at insaniafm.com, or even download the Insania FM app via the App Store and Play Store. And Ayali, today we have our really special guest with us, and we will talk about the United Nations Works in Indonesia. We are going to talk it with Mr. Gaspar.
Yes, sure. United Nations Information Center are the principal source of information about United Nations system in the countries where they are located. Sahabat Insania, you can also chat with us via telephone and WhatsApp to 07-1330-876 with Mr. Gaspar right now. Mr. Gaspar, apa kabar? How are you today? So, Mr. Gaspar, how long have you been in Indonesia, and what is your impression of Indonesia, Mr.?
So, I've been in Indonesia since September 2022, so almost 2 years.
2022, okay.
So, you have been here for like 2 years, yeah. So, Mr. Gaspar, we want to know, where have you been in Indonesia for the past 2 years?
Well, so, you know, I'm the director of the United Nations Information Center, and part of my job includes visiting UN projects and seeing their impact and then documenting the impact of this project. Also, part of my role involves speaking to young people at universities around the country. So for these two reasons, I do travel sometimes in everywhere. It's a huge country. But I've been to some of the cities you guys are in. So I've been to Palu, I've been to Sorong, I've been to Manado, and you know, that area, also Makassar, and there, then I've been to Flores Island. Yeah, so I get to go to beautiful places, all for work.
Oh, so many places.
That's interesting, yes.
Mr. Gaspar, and sahabat Insania, Mr. Miklos Gaspar is from Hungary as director of the United Nations Information Center located in Jakarta, Indonesia. The United Nations Information Center in Jakarta provides service to Indonesia. Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Gaspar, welcome to Indonesia. We have something surprise for you, Mr. Gaspar. Hold on.
Okay.
Insania FM Radio Network. Sekarang radio sudah dalam genggaman. Download Insania FM app di Play Store and App Store. Dengarkan kapanpun dan dimanapun. Praktis.
Welcome back, Mr. Gaspar. There is one Hungarian song. What do you think? Feels like home?
Well, I'm afraid this wasn't Hungarian. So it did have like a, you know, Central European ring to it, but
it's
Hungarian.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay. That's the opening song. We welcoming you here, Mr. Gaspar.
Thank you.
Anyway, Mr. Gaspar, have you mentioned before you're traveling and visit many places in Indonesia so far? Do you have something special, one place that impressed you most?
Well, that's hard to tell. I mean, I always tell my friends at home that look where I am for work, and I send them a beautiful photo of some so really, really spectacular area. But maybe let me just share one story.
Why?
So I was in Ndes, in NTT, on Forest Island. My counterpart asked me, it was like the second or third day, whether I'm willing to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to see something really nice. So then I said, okay, sure. So then they took me up to this, because I forgot the name now, starts with a K, this volcanic crater lake, that there are three of these, you know, it's about a 1 hour drive from Enden. And we went there, we didn't get there for sunrise, but we went there shortly after. There was nobody there, this beautiful lake, you know, beautiful nature. And I was quite amazed that I'm here. And, you know, by the time the workday started, we made it back to town for our meeting. So this story is about two things for me. I mean, there's, of course, the natural beauty of Indonesia, the diversity, and how little is known about it. I mean, even when I tell this story among Indonesians, not everybody knows, but certainly abroad. But also, just how nice people are. I find that everywhere, people are so welcoming and are so kind. Again, one way I sometimes explain this is in Indonesia, you go to a store, and even when they realize actually you're not going to buy anything, they're still nice to you, you know?
Yes.
So it's not just because they're bringing business, and they're genuinely interested. And you know, I sometimes go to places where there are never any foreigners, so there, you know, there it's like even more interested. But look, I mean, I'm also very interested in meeting new people. Indonesia is a very diverse country, right? Cultures are different. So many things are different that it's a great discovery, you know, wherever I go.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
Okay. And Sahabat Yasania, I want to remind you again that you can also chat with us and ask our speaker today about maybe United Nations that works in Indonesia. And you can chat with us via telephone and also WhatsApp to 0811-1330-876. And now, Mr. Gaspar, maybe we will talk about the Sustainable Development Goals in Indonesia. Because after being in Indonesia and visiting a number of places, how do you see the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals in Indonesia?
So, you know, great effort is being made in Indonesia by the people and by various government departments to achieve the Sustainable Development Goals. As you and your listeners perhaps know, that the world, as the Secretary General of the UN said, is woefully off track to meet the Sustainable Development Goal targets. Indonesia is doing significantly better. According to Bappenas's own figures, it's 68% of the targets are on track. You know, that's, well, better than most countries in this region. It doesn't mean everything is fully on track, of course, either. And the government is aware of that. Bappenas is very much aware of that. They, you know, they study on this, and they identify various sustainable development goals to focus on. And the UN is here to support that work. We've got, you know, various projects, like the ones, some of them we can talk about later, where the UN works in collaboration with the government or in various areas of work towards reaching the Sustainable Development Goal. So perhaps I can tell you about the one I visited last week. Well, I was in Sorong only at the airport and at the university to give a talk, but I was really going to Raja Ampat, not to do diving like most foreigners who have heard of Raja Ampat, but to visit some UN projects on islands that are actually quite poor. It's the International Fund for Agriculture Development, IFAD, that works with the Ministry of Village and their local partners to implement projects to basically enable these farmers or fishermen, fishing communities, to earn higher income. And so, for instance, one of the places I visited, they have lots of coconut trees. It's a village of 500 people, but I calculated, I mean, my rough calculation, they probably have 20,000 coconut trees on this island, which is not that big. It's really everywhere you look, it's coconut trees. So before, they used to sell the coconut, very little money. As a result of this project and investment from the village fund, now they are working towards selling not the coconut, but making oil, including virgin coconut oil, VCO, and then eventually, you know, selling that. It's now being run on a pilot on a small scale by hand, but they are installing just some kind of a, you know, or small, I wouldn't call it a factory, but some equipment to be doing this. And so it's an example of how, you know, identifying where the market niche is for a village like this, you can have them increase their income by moving up the value chain and selling a product that's not just the raw coconut. Okay, so that's perhaps, you know, one example about efforts to meet this, and towards, you know, meeting the sustainable development goals. Because right behind all those numbers and percentages, there are real people. And it's, you have to have those real people first, and then the percentages will improve.
Okay, so Mr. Gaspar, what does the United Nations support look like in this case?
Well, so that's a good question. This particular program, it's called TECAD, works in about 1,000 villages across eastern Indonesia. So in the five poorest provinces. And what they do is they use this money to hire local sort of like consultants who get trained on how to work with a village community to develop a business plan, to basically find out what's unique in your village or mine, and what is it that we should be using, they should be using in order to be able to earn money, okay? Sometimes it's very simple. Sometimes what it takes is for the villagers, you know, via BUMDES, this village organization, to come together and sell their produce together. Because when they sell it together, they can get a better price. And also then the vendor comes to the village. They don't need to travel to town to sell it. So sometimes it's just simple things that can make a difference. What the United Nations, this IFAD, does here is two things. One is provides the methodology that has worked in other countries. And the second is it provides the financing. The financing in this case is not a grant, it's a loan. It's mostly a loan to the Indonesian government. And so the idea is that, you know, anyway, once these people start making more money, you know, through taxes or whatnot, the Indonesian government, it's an investment that's worthwhile, and then the loan can be paid up. Of course, it's you know, quite a preferential loan. I mean, it's still a loan for UN agents. So that's, you know, one particular example.
Okay, that was really nice answer, Mr. Gaspar. And as we all know, Mr., that sustainable development goals, it will actually have 17 goals. And about your opinion, which do you think is the most urgent in this country among the 17 goals?
Yes. Well, look, I'm not an expert on this topic, right? So I wouldn't say what my opinion is. The United Nations' opinion is that based on data that, you know, BAPENAS has collected, there are a few SDGs that have regressed instead of progressed over the last couple of years. So one of them is about undernutrition. Yeah. So meaning, you know, in Indonesia nobody starves, but people can have unhealthy diets, there's wasting and stunting in children, and just in general, but all the health consequences of undernourishment and not adequate nutritional value in the food people eat. Another one that has seen some backsliding, unfortunately, is on tuberculosis. Yeah. The number of TB incidents in Indonesia has increased when, according to the SDGs and, of course, Indonesia's own plans, it should be decreasing. So there are, of course, many SDGs that require attention, but perhaps these are two that, according to Indonesia's government data, have taken some setback recently.
Okay, Mr. Gaspar, thanks for your answer. But I have one question. Clean water and proper sanitation are among the mass increases in Indonesia, Mr. Gaspar. We're curious, what is your opinion on this?
So, no, absolutely. Clean water and sanitation are very key. And, you know, when you walk around Jakarta, you guys are in more chunky places. You walk around Jakarta, you pass through a creek, it's so stinky from all the pollution, right? So there certainly are issues. Perhaps you know that maybe that was behind your question, that this week Indonesia hosted the World Water Forum, which is a major international event, not a United Nations event, but a major international event where practitioners and politicians compare notes, best practices about water and sanitation. I read somewhere that in Indonesia, one third of its water infrastructure is unreliable or damaged, or something like that. Meaning water pipes are broken, so water gets wasted, meaning the dams tenfold all the water, things like that. So, you know, it's always a lot easier to fix what you already have than start anew. So I understand, you know, one priority could be to like to fix what they have. In Indonesia, right, there's plenty of water. It rains all the time. The issue is more how you keep that water, how you distribute that water, because of course the water doesn't always come where the people live. So, you know, the issues of distribution, issues of maintenance, these are some of the issues that the government is tackling. Including, I mean, in Jakarta, there's the problem that so many households are not hooked up to running water. And then, you know, they dig wells, and that's why the city is sinking. So I understand there's another topic that's, you know, being dealt with at both the DKI Jakarta and the national government.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Gaspar, for your opinion. And Mr. Gaspar, this is the last question before we break to the another segment. As you know, from the United Nations representation in 20 regions in Indonesia, what is one form of UN cooperation with local governments, like your collaboration with the local governments?
Well. Okay, so many of our projects in collaboration with local governments, so sometimes provincial. By local, you mean like the district and the or what's the, how do you define local? I was asking how you define local.
Oh, okay.
Anything below the national level or more like the Kabupaten and the, or the city? I want to make sure I give you the right example.
Maybe it's the city.
Okay. So let me give you an example from Kupang. Okay. We talked earlier about problems with nutrition. So this will touch on, it will be an example for both of these. There is something that's called the Food Vulnerability Insecurity Atlas. It was developed by the World Food Program and the National Food Agency. It uses 9 indicators to map down to the village or in cities, it's a city area, the kampung level, to what extent a particular area, the people in that area may be at the risk of becoming food insecure. Meaning, not that they are starving, but that they don't have a nutritious diet, or they are at the risk of not having a nutritious diet. And the city of Kampung mandated all development efforts on in the city to be focused on the areas that have been identified as food insecure, as most food insecure by this report. You see, because food insecurity is sometimes hard to judge. You see a person on the street, they look poor, you say, oh, we're poor, I give you some food in. But maybe the problem isn't food, that they don't have food. You know, maybe it's something else. Or maybe they have enough, don't have nutritious food. Or maybe the reason they are hungry is because they live in a village that's too far from the market. They cannot sell their own product. So that's why it's really important that there's a scientific basis, data-driven analysis behind identifying, in this case, food insecure people are. And that's what the city of Kupang did using this report, this research, and they are targeting all their aid towards the food insecure neighborhood. So that's perhaps one example of a collaboration between a UN entity and the local government.
Okay, thank you for your opinion, Mr. Gaspar. Let me translate in Indonesia untuk sahabat Insania. Jadi UN itu bekerja sama, mereka hadir di Indonesia, Mr. Gaspar sebagai kepala divisi untuk pusat informasi Badan PBB Dunia. Nah, salah satu yang sudah mereka lakukan kemarin adalah contohnya seperti di Kupang, bagaimana mereka mengidentifikasi pangan apa yang mereka punya, orang-orang di situ untuk bagaimana supaya itu bisa berkontribusi kepada masyarakat dan bagaimana jalur distribusinya seperti itu. But okay, sahabat Insania, don't go anywhere. Just stay here. Stay tuned in Insania. We're still here in with Mr. Gaspar. We will come back after commercial break.
Radio Kemanusiaan Sosial dan Kebudayaan Insania FM.
Welcome back to Insania FM Radio Network. Mr. Gaspar still with us. So, before we are continue our discussions, we have several questions from Bini.
Yes.
Yeah, we have several questions from our listeners, Bini, right?
Yes, of course. So, I will read the question for Mr. Gaspar. So, the question is from Mataram City, Mr. The question is, I heard earlier about oil processing. In Indonesia, there is currently a campaign to switch using the red oil. President Jokowi said that this oil is healthier and environmentally friendly. So what is the view of United Nations about this campaign?
Yes, I mean, in general, the World Health Organization has underlined the importance of using healthier fats for eating. United Nations, I mean, WHO puts out recommendations about the use of various kind of, you know, fat, oil, and you know, similar substances. Bini, I'm not aware of any UN projects that relate to the introduction of red oil in Indonesia.
Okay, Mr. Gaspar, thank you so much for your opinion. Ayali, maybe we have another question from Ternate.
Ternate, so far we have no questions, Bini. Maybe if Mataram have, just go ahead, Bini.
Halo, Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
We have one question.
Okay.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Hello, Mr. Gaspar. Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon. Selamat sore to you. Well, depending on where you are, maybe it's selamat siang.
Hello.
Okay, I am Riris from Mataram, Lombok. According to Mr. Gaspar, which regions in Indonesia require significant humanitarian attention from the United Nations and why? Additionally, what step is the UN taking? That's all my question and thank you.
Wow, thank you so much.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Mr. Gaspar?
Yes, thank you. So you talked about humanitarian. So in the UN, we distinguish between development and humanitarian. Humanitarian is when there's an earthquake and people's houses collapse. That's humanitarian support. The projects I've been talking about so far are more long-term development support. So Indonesia, as the most disaster-prone country in the world, is well-equipped to deal with its disasters. So the UN acts humanitarian work. You know, there's a tsunami, volcanic eruption, earthquake. It's the Indonesian authorities that deal with that. The UN's involvement in humanitarian policy advice level, to some extent, working together with the government. And in fact, where the UN is involved in humanitarian work in Indonesia, for Indonesia to provide a platform for Indonesia to share its experience with other countries that are, you know, that also have earthquakes, but are less developed in dealing with them. I am aware of, for instance, of a cooperation between, a triangular cooperation between Indonesia, the UN, Nepal, for this Indonesian experience to be shared. So that's on humanitarian.
Thanks for your answer, Mr. Gaspar, and we hope you deliver it enough for someone who asking in Mataram. Mr. Gaspar, I have one question for you. I'm curious about your opinion regarding the World Water Forum when we held in Bali yesterday, and what should you think? It is up to you.
Yes. So the World Water Forum was held actually the whole week, this week. There were 10 UN agencies that were present there. Water is such an important topic that so many UN organizations work on water. Now, the World Water Forum is not a multilateral, you know, event like the COP or one of these major UN organized forums. It's organized by an NGO, and there are, you know, some countries that participate, quite a few countries. It was a huge event. What these events are good for is for different countries and different organizations and companies to show their, you know, results or approach in certain areas, and then for others to be able to learn from that and pick it up, so that, you know, we don't all have to start from scratch and develop it. The United Nations gave a press conference there with, you know, many agencies, and I also visited UNESCO, had a big pavilion there, where I saw what they are sharing is various scientific methods to, for instance, map out groundwater and its quantity and quality, you know, so that you only start extracting groundwater in areas where you know it's going to last a while and where the quality of water is good. So that's one example. Now, having said that, the United Nations is organizing its own effort on multilateral water issues. A new strategy, the sort of an international water strategy, will be launched in July. The reason this is so important, and you know, not so much for Indonesia, but in the world, 60% of the water is transboundary. What that means is the river flows from one country to another. Yeah, but if the people in the country on the mountain use more of the water, the country lower down gets less, right? So there are actually international conflicts because of this. And so the United, you know, so that's one reason why it's so important that these issues are dealt with in a multilateral level. For Indonesia, which is many islands, you know, this is much less of an issue. But globally, the governance of water bodies that transcend boundaries or borders is a major issue to be dealt with, and the United Nations is providing a platform for it.
Okay, so a simple conclusion is water can make a conflict with the mountain and the, you know, the people or society in the waterfront. Mr. Gaspar, what should we do as Indonesian to support the world regarding the water issues?
Well, already Indonesia did a great thing by hosting this forum. You know, to be providing a platform for people from all over the world to come together and share experiences is great. What Indonesia can do is work towards, you know, not polluting or polluting less.
Okay.
Because, I mean, the pollution at the end ends up in water. okay, in salty water because it will end up in the ocean. But in the meantime, it goes to rivers. Another area is for Indonesia to share some of its experience, you know, if it's got like research or results. That's sort of often what international cooperation is about. And Indonesia, as it's maturing, you know, has moved from middle income to an upper income, middle income country, it's more and more in a position that it has experience to share because it's already gone through certain stages of development. So there are, you know, poorer countries in our region too, whether it's, you know, Laos, Cambodia, Nepal, but also other parts of the world, mostly in Africa. And they can learn a lot from Indonesia's experience. It has some issues.
Hey, thank you so much, Mr. Gaspar. So, Mr. Gaspar and Sahabat Insania yang masih mendengarkan ya, so that we come to the last question in this segment. And I want to ask about what is the most urgent thing you want to do for Indonesia regarding sustainable development?
Look, the United Nations does not work in a vacuum. We work in close cooperation with the government, and sort of the areas of work are defined mostly by Bappenas and, you know, by other ministries. So in the opinion of the United Nations globally, there are certain enablers of the SDGs, certain areas of work, where if countries make an improvement, that will impact positively all of the SDGs. So one of these is the energy transition, so that if we improve energy security, if we decrease greenhouse gas emissions, if we improve energy conservation, these will then positively impact the rest of the SDG, right? So if we pollute less, then that will impact the SDGs, which are about the environment. If the energy security is increasing because the power plant is reliable, that means businesses can flourish, and that's therefore people have money, income. So energy transition is, for instance, one area that has been identified globally by the UN as a key area to work in order to accelerate progress towards the SDGs. And Indonesia is working on that also. Last year, the UN launched a report about possible areas of joint work in this. For instance, one of the UN agencies supported PLN in coming up with a way to make its grid, the electricity grid, be able to take in electricity that's not constant, right? Because when you burn coal, the electricity generated is always the same, easy for the grid to take in. When you use, let's say, solar energy, sometimes there's a lot of electricity coming into the grid because the sun is shining. Sometimes it's nothing because it's night. It's the night. So in order for a country to have renewable energy, it's not enough to build solar to install a windmill or a solar panels, but the electricity grid also has to be upgraded so that it can take in this kind of energy. And so that is an example for an area of work where the United Nations has worked with the government, well, with PLN in this case, to support that. So energy transition would be one of these key areas. Transformative education is another one, right? We need people with the right skills, with digital skills and skills that will be marketable not only today but also later, skills that the job market wants. So that's why transformative education is another one of these areas that the United Nations has identified as key or important for having an impact on the SDGs.
Thank you so much for your opinion, Mr. Gaspar. We really appreciate. Mr. Gaspar, a short closing statement for you, please.
Okay, thank you. Well, look, it's been great, you know, talk to you, and I hope it's been useful for your listeners.
Sure.
What I'd like to say is that we often think about, you know, what the government would do, what the government will do to help something. But we ourselves are all agents of change, or can be agents of change. So I'd like to encourage all your listeners to, in their own environment, in their own life, in their own town, they themselves can make a difference. You know, they can take their tumbler when they go somewhere. They can, when they see in the area perhaps violence against women, they can try to see if they can speak to an authority or to somebody to shed light on that. They can, you know, turn off the light when they are not in the room so that we conserve energy. So there are so many ways in which we ourselves can become an agent of change. And it's important not just because of the little energy you consume by turning off the light, but because of the example you show to all your friends and classmates and neighbors and colleagues that you actually care about them. That, you know, you take your own basket to the shop or to the kaki lima when you buy stuff and you don't want a plastic bag. These kinds of small things all make a difference. So look, my closing statement, I don't know if it's a statement, but you is, we can all be agents of change
working towards the end.
Okay, sahabat Insania, remember, bring your tumbler when you go anywhere and bring your bag when you go to supermarket or anything else to save the world. Sure, Mr. Gaspar? Okay, sahabat Insania, we are on a conclusion for today, for Radio Talk today. Let me make it short. Mr. Gaspar is the official representative of the United Nations in Jakarta and is the head of the agency division to report on all the work they do in Indonesia. His presence brings transparency of information between Indonesia and the UN for collaborations today and in the future. So we hopefully, with this presence, Indonesia will receive more attention from the UN and become more recognized in informing us of our needs. Mr. Gaspar, we really pleased to have you on today's Radio Talk program. We hope that everything you do will run smoothly without any obstacles. Last but not least, welcome to Indonesia. And the last one is, we hope to continue learning in various programs related to education and humanity. And we hopefully in the future, we can also work together to help promote and activities of the United Nations.
Thank you very much. Sure. And to all your listeners, Internasya, Mataram, and everywhere else.
Thank you. Bahasa Indonesia silakan Kak Bini.
Okay, jadi sahabat Insania, Bini akan menyimpulkan ya dalam bahasa. Jadi Mr. Gaspar adalah perwakilan resmi Perserikatan Bangsa-Bangsa di Jakarta dan memang menjadi kepala divisi badan tersebut untuk menggambarkan nih seluruh pekerjaan yang mereka lakukan di Indonesia. Dan memang kehadiran beliau membawa transparansi informasi antara Indonesia dan juga PBB untuk kolaborasi nih pada hari ini dan juga di masa mendatang. Tentunya semoga ya dengan kehadiran beliau, sahabat Insania, Indonesia mendapatkan perhatian lebih dari PBB dan menjadi lebih diperhitungkan nih dalam menggambarkan segala kebutuhan yang kita perlukan. Dan tentunya ya kita sangat berterima kasih kepada Mr. Gaspar hari ini yang hadir bersama kita. Semoga tentunya sahabat Insania bisa mengambil knowledge baru nih dari perbincangan kita di siang hari ini.
Kita juga berharap ya dapat terus belajar dalam berbagai program terkait pendidikan dan kemanusiaan. Terus semoga ke depan nanti kita bisa bekerja sama untuk membantu mempromosikan kegiatan-kegiatan dari United Nations. Okay, sahabat Insania, thank you for you continue to listen to us on Insania FM Radio Network. We hope that this conversation has a good impact on us together. Thank you for listening to us on Indonesiana today on Friday, 24 May 2024 via 97.9 FM Gorontalo, 87.6 FM Ternate, 100.8 FM Makassar, and 103.4 FM Palu, even 87.6 FM Mataram and 88.7 FM Sorong. I'm Ayali and Bini from Mataram. Take your leave. Wassalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, Mr. Gaspar. Thank you. Terima kasih.
Terima kasih. Selamat sore.
Selamat sore.
Terima kasih Anda sudah mendengarkan program ini. Nantikan program kami selanjutnya hanya di Insania FM. Follow akun sosial media kami di Twitter, Facebook, dan Instagram @insaniafm.